Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. And we might actually have a season on our hands here. I don't know about you, but I actually enjoyed the race on Sunday, which that doesn't come around often. So I feel like I've said this at one point this, maybe not this season, but I feel like this yesterday, okay, Sunday, if you're listening to us now on Wednesday, Sunday was the best F1 race we have had since Saudi Arabia 2021.
Ooh. Okay.
I mean, Abu Dhabi wasn't actually that great of a race. You know, Lewis kind of ran off of it. And then I know Checo held him up for a bit, but then he got passed and that was it. Incredible last lap, you know, if you're a Max fan. And since then, I mean, you know, we had a few good races in 2022 at the beginning.
Bahrain was good. You had that battle between Max and Leclerc.
But in my opinion, this was the best race since Saudi Arabia, 2021.
See, I like Silverstone 22. Through goes Hamilton.
Wasn't actually that good, though.
Well, it was a wet race, a lot of changes. I thought it was
It was a decent race. Yeah. I think yesterday was a great race.
Oh, my God.
What? Some breaking news?
No, I looked at my F1 fantasy for yesterday.
Oh. Well, yeah, obviously, before we go into anything, wherever you're listening to us on, is that a saying? Wherever you're listening to us, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're just listening to a clip that's been posted to our TikTok or Instagram, do give us a like. If you want to find us there, it's Racecast Clips and Racecast Insta. And if you want to see what we have to say during the race weekends, then head over to Racecast Tweets. But let's dive into fantasy. Obviously, we have our fantasy league, which it sounds like Matt has not had a very good weekend. I didn't make any changes in the end. And now I'm sort of just remembering that I think I have Sergio Perez in my team.
No, you don't. I'm looking at yours now.
Did I take him out?
I'm looking at yours now. You got 76 points, okay? So Leclerc got you minus 16. Oh. Albon got you minus 12. Ferrari overall got you minus 16. Oof. You had Verstappen and you double pointed him. So you got 74 points. Hülkenberg got you 19 points.
Well done, Hulk.
RB got you 19 points and Bottas got you 8. So it works out. You got 76 points. You jumped me in the leaderboard to, you are now P16.
I'm out of the top 10.
You were out of the top 10 ages ago. I overtook you. Me, on the other hand, well, let's just say I got minus 20 points. I did a U.
Mm.
Literally, it was awful. Perez minus 17, Leclerc minus 32. The issue is, because I double pointed him, I got...
You got double negatives.
Christ, it's horrific. Awful. I'm going to have to change that for next time. I've dropped down to 21 in the league. You are up to... You are joint 16th. It's not bad.
Yeah, the mega movers have had a better week this week than we did last week, but...
I had a shocker. Absolutely shocker. But welcome along to Racecast. I hope you're all good. We're going to delve into it, but there's a topic I want to discuss with you right now. And it's quite a talking point of this weekend. Daniel Ricciardo.
Mm-hmm. Well, was Daniel Ricciardo the talking point, or was...
No, hang on. Let me finish.
Jack Villeneuve.
Hang on, let me finish. So rude.
Well, the way Daniel you ended Ricciardo. That sentence, okay. It was as if you had finished speaking.
I hadn't finished.
You know, we've got to retain this audience.
Okay. And then, well, coming from you, who has the longest pauses in history.
Yeah, but when I've got a question, I've really got to think hard because I want to get it right.
All right, let me rephrase this then. A big talking point from this weekend, Daniel Ricciardo, Jacques Villeneuve, all right?
Oh, you paused again.
I know, I paused. So then that was a time for you to then come in. If you don't know, Jacques Villeneuve was on Sky Sports this weekend. He was a pundit. I actually thought he was very good. I appreciated his honesty.
He was kind of good and... But he was... He had, like, the brutal honesty of Nico Rosberg, but he was also a little bit annoying at the same time.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see it.
And I think... It's going to sound like I'm picking on a certain group of people.
Yeah.
But he's very bald. Do you know what I mean?
That's because he is bald.
Hmm.
Okay. So what's wrong with that?
I don't know. It just everything he said was a little bit more annoying. Because he had such a bald head.
I don't really have a response for this. Okay, I don't know how that makes any difference whatsoever.
But well, anyway, it's a prejudice.
So you hated him because he's bald?
Whoa. I never said I hated him. I just said when he did say something annoying, it was always a little bit more annoying because he was bald. Okay. So bald.
Okay, so you're telling me that if he was saying the same thing and he had a full head of hair, it would have been fine?
It would have helped, yeah. Do you not get that?
No, I don't get it at all.
What?
I don't get that.
You know, like, for example, because this is not just strictly bald people, right?
So if I say... Okay, so ask me... something with a receding hairline, is that a little bit more annoying than if I had a full set of
hair? It is a little bit worse. Because, right, and I know you like my football analogies. You know Roberto De Zerbi?
What? The Brighton manager, and I support Brighton...
Yeah. You're aware of him?
The ex-Brighton manager, yeah. I think I'm aware of him, yeah.
It really wound me up that he used wet look gel on his hair to give himself spikes.
Brill cream.
But do you know what I mean? That everything he said, I would just think, yeah, but with that bar on it, really? I think have some shame.
I don't know how this is we got onto this, but... Okay, let's get back to Jack Villeneuve, okay?
Mm.
You happy if we continue this?
Yeah, I didn't find him necessarily refreshing. I felt it was... What was good? It was about time someone said something about Danny Rick. It's almost like he's the elephant in the room. And we've been pretty honest about his ability on here. I think we've always openly said he's one of the like most likeable drivers on the grid. He seems like such a good laugh. I mean, yeah. I know you hate him because I can see you're going a bit red in the face just me saying that, that he's a nice guy. But
I'm more annoyed that you've upset a lot of bald people. That's what I'm angry about.
No, I specifically said very bald people.
Okay.
No, because some people, Jason Statham, right?
Cool, though.
He looks quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Villeneuve, very bald.
Okay.
There's something about him. He's more bald than like a normal bald person. Do you know what I mean, though? Surely that makes sense.
It doesn't in the slightest.
But there's no way anyway. To explain it other than like understanding it. It's like seeing enlightenment. Like you have to feel it to understand it. But yeah, I kind of felt maybe the way in which he spoke was a little bit harsh on. In the fact that we can sit here in an unprofessional podcast space, right, and say it.
Yeah.
He kind of came out and just went for the jugular of Danny Rick. And I think that's where maybe I compared him to Nico Rosberg, but that's where Nico's different. He's very analytical in everything he says. You know, he's very harsh sometimes, but it's almost like, wow, yeah, but that's a really fair... critical point that you're making. It's a very honest point. This kind of just felt like he was saying it to like upset Danny Rick. And that's not to say I disagree with anything he said, because I think what he said hit the nail on the head. I do just think he was an F1 driver once, right? A successful one, won a world championship. But to the tail end of his career, he was pretty poor.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, sorry about the seagull. Look at me, sitting on the... I think to then... Jesus. I think... Sorry, just had to shut the window. But I think for him to then go off on him like that... From a former driver as well, it's even worse, I think. Well, I guess you could look at the counter argument and be like, well, he's got more of a say
because he did it.
Yeah, but I think he's almost forgetting what it's like to have people
criticize you
in that way. There's being criticized, and then there's like literally having your balls ripped off.
So one of the points which really stood out for me, which is what we've discussed, is his personality is keeping him in the sport. And we've discussed this, and I would 100% agree with that. I think for a driver of his experience, he should be doing a lot better. And I felt Jack Villeneuve hit a nail on the head with that. It's difficult, isn't it? Because we have been critical of Ricciardo, and I think rightly so. I think for someone of that, he was coming back in last year. For me, I still feel that he's holding a seat from Lawson. I think Lawson could come in and do a better job. But just touching on the actual Danny Ricks weekend, after that comments from Villeneuve, he went on, he got P5 in...
He took it personally.
He took it personally. He got P5 in qualifying. And what I didn't like is if someone says something negative about you, okay, your plan is that you've got to like go, okay, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong. He got P5 in qualifying. Great. Brilliant. Well done. Fantastic. He was very cocky after in his interviews. And I get that you're like, yeah, look at me, I got P5. You've done it in one race. You've been shit the rest of the season. If you're doing it week in, week out, absolutely fine. And to use the analogy, or to use the term eat shit, just shows to me that actually, like, the arrogance of it. Because
he probably just felt disrespected.
Yeah, but...
He was disrespected.
He was disrespected, granted. But, okay, if someone was saying something to you, and someone said something to you, how would you react? Would you act like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to prove them wrong. Not just once, twice. I'm going to do it week after week. I'm going to prove you exactly wrong throughout this season. Not just get a P5 in qualifying and go, ha, look at me, I'm the best now.
All right, so if we were racing on the F1 game.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, one race you beat me.
Hmm.
You're not going to act all smug.
Okay, that's a bit different from being, we're friends. If I got that, one, that would be a shock. And two, that'd be a massive achievement for me. This we are talking about a guy who's been in the sport for years. It's a completely different analogy.
But do you not think also at the same time, like, is Danny Ric not a bit of an easy target? Jack Villeneuve didn't come out and say anything about Sergio Perez getting handed a 2-year contract extension despite the fact that he's been one of the worst drivers on the grid for maybe or 8 months now.
He did. He spoke about Sergio Perez this weekend about his 2-year contract. And Villeneuve was quite critical in that, and he said obviously now it's probably not what Horner wants, but to actually stabilise the team, this is the best and the most stable decision he can make at that time. So he did come out and talk about it, and he was actually saying, you know, it's probably not what Horner wants and the pairing, but actually for the sake of keeping Max Verstappen happy, having someone like Sergio Perez come in and stabilise it is probably the right thing.
But was it as scathing?
No.
Because there's one thing saying, oh, it's probably not what Christian Horner wants right now, but it stabilises the team. To then out and out saying, he's not good enough, why is no one talking about it?
Yeah.
You know, they're very different things. One of them is saying, oh, he's probably not the best fit. The other is saying, you're shit.
Okay, but on the other hand, Sergio Perez, granted, over the last year or so, has won races. Also, on the other hand, he's in a top car. The difference is with Danny Ric, he has not been good for years.
No, it's
he has
true.
Not been good. He has not been good for years. He lost his McLaren seat because he was awful. He came back into sport because, and I say this in a nice possible way, his personality, because Christian Horner liked him. And he was like, oh, potentially we can get him back in a Red Bull. He would never be in that Red Bull.
No.
And actually, because Nick de Vries wasn't performing, okay, who could we go for? Oh, I've got Danny Ric, who's doing all right in the sim as a test driver. Give him a go. That's how he got back in the sport. And so,
look, I'll say it again. I don't disagree with a word he actually said about him.
Yeah.
I think it's a very fair point. He hit the nail on the head. It always does seem to be, oh, we just need to get in the right car. Well, it's like, well, why don't you just give the car the right driver? Mm. You know, stop. Because he hasn't done anything to prove that he is, like, a world championship contender.
No, he's been outperformed by his teammate all season. Until yesterday. And let me just touch on the fact that, you know, Danny Rick, he finished, what, P7, P8, something like that in the end? And
was it P8?
I know I read afterwards, oh, this is great, you know, Villeneuve has been proved wrong, Danny Rick is back and all of this stuff. I saw so many tweets about it after. Let's put this in perspective, okay? Perspective. You have to be in the right place at the right time to pick up points. Completely get that. However, Danny Rick, if everything had gone a bit of normality yesterday, he would not have got any points. If Carlos Sainz hadn't taken out Alex Albon, there's two people who would have been in the points there. Sergio Perez would have got into the points. That's three places. He wouldn't have been in the points. Both Alpines, he would have been overtaken by Gasly or someone eventually.
Oh.
I disagree.
Well, he finished ahead of the Alpines.
Yeah, I take that one back. That's not what...
Yeah, but the... And then that's
Tsunoda would have probably finished in the points if he hadn't taken himself out.
Okay, well, Lewis Hamilton wouldn't have won the world championship in 2008 if Timo Glock didn't have that issue.
As I said, it's all relevant to what you make your own luck on those days. I completely get that. But Danny Rick did not get those points yesterday through his own... He didn't beat all the cars behind him.
Lewis Hamilton didn't get the points that he needed that day on his own merit.
Yeah. No, but that's a bit different. You're fighting for a championship, you're fighting for, like...
No, I get it. I'm not comparing them in terms of drivers, but I'm saying if we're looking at circumstances, lead... You know, you have to be...
You have to be in the right place
at the right time.
But I did say that at the beginning of this. I did say he was in the right place at the right time. But on any other day...
And he came back from a five-second penalty.
Yeah.
He could have dropped his head... He could have just...
During a safety car.
What? That he served it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need a bit of luck.
So all these things were given to him. Would he have beaten Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon yesterday if they hadn't taken each other out?
It's likely not.
No. Sergio Perez. He was gradually working his way through. Would he have finished him?
He would have finished ahead of Perez.
No.
I think.
Bollocks.
Perez was not quick enough.
Look, very happy for Danny Rick to get points yesterday, granted. Do I think that actually he's done this weekend has proved Villeneuve wrong? No.
So what's your excuse for him getting P5?
Well, in qualifying.
Yeah. Was it not that he didn't drive well, it's just all the other drivers drove really bad.
Rubbish. Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to give him some credit for the weekend.
You've got to give him credit. I'm not...
On a weekend where...
I'm not saying on a weekend he proved some people wrong.
He could have listened to those comments and been like, fuck, that's actually so... You know when someone says something to you and you're like, fuck, they're actually right?
Yeah. But what... Okay, he probably heard them and thought... What's the difference from Miami? He went to Miami, qualified, did a great sprint race. Come to the race day, he was utter crap. He went to the next race, he was utter crap. So... He's got to do it consistently.
No, yeah.
This is what I mean. For Danny Rick, it's okay doing it on a weekend every few races.
All right, so if this happens every single week, right?
Yeah. Then he's proven himself.
No, because you're not going to give him the credit.
No, I 100% will give him the credit.
Because if he gets in the points every week under these same circumstances, because two cars crash 10 laps to the end, and that means he gets points, you're going to be like, nah.
No.
Doesn't deserve it.
No, I disagree. I would give him credit. What I'm saying is...
But you won't credit him for this one.
Well, listen to what I'm about to say.
But you've already discredited him.
No, on this occasion, yes. You've got to do it consistently in these positions, okay? He's not doing it consistently. In that sprint race, how many people got ahead of themselves and was like, wow, okay, Danny Rick's back here. He was a solid performance. He got P4 in qualifying, then went on to the sprint race, finished P4. Amazing. He's back. He went into the race on that Sunday and he was woeful.
Yeah. No, okay. Granted, he was bad. So, but he is also in an RB.
Which isn't the worst car on the grid. If Tsunoda's getting points... Tsunoda's picking up the points.
How many more points does Tsunoda have than Danny Rick now?
Don't know.
Well, should we find out? Because yeah. Danny Rick obviously got 4 points yesterday.
Yep.
It's a nice little collection. Tsunoda's only 10 points ahead of him.
Which is a good amount of points. Different. If he, yeah. But that is him finishing P9, P10 in his races. He's consistently picking up points.
But they're still very close. All right.
It's consistency. This is what the issue is with Danny Rick.
Answer this. Who do you hate more? Danny Rick or George Russell?
I don't hate either of them.
That's a lie.
George Russell triggered me this weekend.
No, but what did you say to me before we sat down?
I said I dislike George Russell this
weekend. Not in those words, though.
I did.
No.
I said, God darn it, that George Russell really peeved me off this weekend.
You said I effing hate him.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I did not say those words.
I was recording.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay, show me the evidence.
Oh, I'll clip it in this.
Yeah. Okay. What's the clip going to be?
So is it like... Is it normal that you just hate drivers?
No.
Because clearly you hate Danny Rick. No. We've established that. He could win a race and he'd be like, he didn't deserve that.
No.
That got gifted.
What I dislike is the Danny hype. Rick. No. I like Danny Rick. I actually like his personality and I think he's great to be around.
Would you hang out with him?
I hang around. Of course. What I dislike is this whole hype where actually... He has one good race or one good qualifying session and then all of a sudden the world goes into, oh, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, brilliant. He's back. And then the next couple of races, he's actually woeful and nobody remembers those. But, oh, he's amazing. And because Jacques Villeneuve came out and actually stated some facts this weekend, people were a bit like, oh, that's really harsh. Well, actually, there's drivers out there like Liam Lawson who I would say deserves a seat more.
You know, Jacques Villeneuve... You know, we've established this. He did hit the nail on the head. I think the uproar, especially from a man that has fans, you know,
he's a popular person.
Is how it was said.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, how he said it, I don't completely agree with how he said it, but what he was saying, I agree with. I like Danny Rick. And this whole thing is, I don't not dislike him. I like his personality. But I dislike this whole thing of kind of, oh yeah, but Danny Rick, oh, he hasn't had this. He's a bit difficult for him. He's trying to get his confidence. He's in a very experienced driver who at his level and his time within his career should have that confidence.
Well, yeah, he shouldn't be having a confidence dip.
No. And if you're having a confidence dip now, you shouldn't be in the sport because you've been around long enough to actually...
He should be very, like, well aware of, you know, how good or bad he is.
Yeah. So, but what I didn't like this weekend was, yes, he qualified P5, but there was a lot of arrogance around it afterwards, you know, and that's only one qualifying session. If you do it week in, week out, have that arrogance, have that cockiness. I don't mind because you're backing it up. Don't just do one weekend and then go, eat shit, all of that stuff, and then walk off and, like, yeah, it just doesn't look cool. He was saying it to Jacques Villeneuve, but actually, I guarantee you, when we go to Barcelona, actually, I'd probably put money on it now.
When is Barcelona?
2 weeks. Not this weekend.
Oh, I'm not here, am I?
No. I guarantee Danny Rick will not get into Q3 on Saturday, and I guarantee he will not get in the top 10 on Sunday.
Well, but I mean, that's kind of a safe bet because...
Well, no, but that's my trend. He's not consistent enough. And I do not think he'll be consistent when he goes to Spain.
But do you think it's possible to be consistent in a car like the RB?
Well, when you've got someone like Tsunoda, who's constantly getting in those Q3s, constantly picking up those points, yes, okay. I do.
So answer me this. Has Lance Stroll been consistent this season?
No.
So why has Tsunoda only got 2 more points than him?
But you've got to
hit him with the checkmate.
No, not in the slightest. You've got to remember though, this RB is picking up these 1 points here, 2 points here. When you look at Stroll, what he's picked up these P6s, P7s. So he's picking up more points when he's done it earlier on in the year.
We got a P6. Was it P7 this weekend?
Yeah, P6. But you expect Aston Martin to be picking up more points than the RB, wouldn't you?
Well,
theoretically.
No, I think you would have at one stage. At this point, do you expect that? I think you expect Fernando Alonso in the Aston Martin to do it.
I think,
but it's hard to tell whether it's car or driver.
Yeah.
Because he's got Lance Stroll.
But all I'm saying is Tsunoda has done a very good job in that RB in picking up regular points.
So what will you do if Danny Ric finishes ahead of Tsunoda in the standings this year?
I'd be impressed.
Public apology?
No, I don't think it's a public apology needed. I still think Tsunoda will finish ahead of Danny Ric. I do. I think Tsunoda's got that confidence in the car, in the team, and I think that showed that by giving him a new contract. I think they know what he can do. If you're a team and you've offered Tsunoda a seat and you haven't offered Danny Ric a seat, then you must be, as a team, you must be considering whether what is the right move.
But I thought they had already said that Danny Ric will be there in 2025.
No, I don't think that's been announced.
I swear, Helmut said it.
I don't know. Well, if that's the case, then I don't know what's going on in this sport. If Danny Ric beats Tsunoda, would I give an apology? No, because that's what is expected.
If Danny Ric beats Tsunoda, does he deserve to lose his seat to Liam Lawson?
If he gets beat by Tsunoda?
No. If Danny Ric beats Yuki Tsunoda in the championship standings at the end of the season, does he deserve to be replaced by Liam Lawson?
Well, no, because he's proved himself.
So then does Yuki Tsunoda deserve to be replaced by Liam Lawson?
No, because realistically, when you're looking at those two drivers, you would expect Danny Ric to beat Tsunoda. Would you not?
Well, here's the thing. Now are you buying into the overhype? Do you expect him to?
Well, for someone who's been in the sport many years, who's driven for some of the best teams in the grid, I would say, being a race winner, I would say at his level, he should be beaten. It's the same as Fernando Alonso is expected to beat Lance Stroll. It's the same as when Sebastian Vettel was with Stroll. He was expected to beat him. It's the same when Alonso was with Ocon. He was expected to beat Ocon. Those drivers who have been experienced drivers are expected to beat their teammates.
Yeah, but Fernando Alonso, he's very different to...
Oh, granted, him and Danny Ric, but you see what I mean when I say experience. People who have been around the sport a long time. You expect Danny Ric to beat Tsunoda comfortably, realistically, because he is the experienced driver there.
But that's you buying into the hype.
No, that's just facts. That's just when you're looking at it, anyone who comes back, that's how it should be. That's how in theory it should be.
Yuki Tsunoda is fairly experienced now. He's in his fourth season.
Fourth season compared to Danny Ric's 14th season, 13th season?
No, not that many.
Has he not?
2014 was his first one.
Okay, 10 seasons in.
Or was it his first one? No, that was his first one at Red Bull.
Let me have a look.
But no, obviously Danny Ric is more experienced, but do we expect him to be quicker? I don't know, it's tricky. Because I think actually part of me is expecting Yuki Tsunoda to be quicker, based on his experience. Based on Danny Ric's past experiences, i.e. his performances at McLaren, his performances at Renault, his performances at Red Bull, going up against Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
McLaren in particular. McLaren really was the dagger to his heart.
His first entry into F1 was 2011.
Wow, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13th season, is
his
it?
His first win was 2014 at the Canadian Grand Prix. Yeah.
But anyway, how long have we been talking about Danny Ric?
29 minutes.
Why don't you tell us why you hate George Russell instead?
I don't hate George Russell. Okay. I just felt this weekend, I suppose he was just, I don't know. I struggle with arrogance. Like, I have cockiness. Like, and I know I'm watching F1 and all these drivers are arrogant and they're cocky because that's why they're in the sport and all this stuff. But George Russell qualified P1. Perfect. I'd have loved to actually seen the proper timings, because obviously they matched timings, didn't they? But there's a way of being able to tell who was actually quicker.
Oh yeah, well, if you go to more decimal places.
Yeah. I think I would have been interested to see who that was. I still think that probably would have been Max.
Well, George was lucky with the toe.
Yeah. So afterwards, I was just seeing these interviews of, can you win this weekend? Definitely for us. We're in a good position. We're going to be... It was just like, yeah, everywhere you went.
What do you want him to
say? Nah. No, I'm not saying, nah, I don't want to win it. But I think part of me was just really pissed off when he overtook Lewis. I was looking forward to having Lewis on the podium.
I mean, I'm surprised George didn't crash into him, because every time George attempted to make an overtake...
What was that move, by the way? And I know afterwards he was going, so, you know, it's quite a good move, I almost lost it. He almost took out both him and his teammate on that overtake on the second to last lap. You know, when he went onto the wet side, when he was in the inside?
Oh, yeah.
He almost took out both.
Yeah, no, he did almost lose it. The back end slipped, yeah, didn't it?
I just think this weekend he showed, don't get me wrong, he got P3. Very good job, you know, well done. But he still had errors on him, didn't he?
Oh, I think Lewis wins that race if he starts pole.
P1 or P2, I'd agree, yeah.
I think Max Verstappen runs away with the race if he's in the McLaren.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure. I think only Max could have taken that Red Bull to that victory.
He did a phenomenal job.
I do not believe that Red Bull was the quickest car on the grid. I genuinely think both McLaren and Mercedes this weekend were quicker than that Red Bull. And I think you take Max Verstappen out of that car.
Oh, he wouldn't have won that.
Yeah.
No, I 100% agree with you. 100% agree. I was at one point going, do you know what? Although I'm a Mercedes fan, I just didn't want George to win.
But you just wanted Max to win.
I would have taken Max. I don't know. And I know.
Coming along to the Dutch national anthem.
Yeah, I know a lot of you will probably hate on me for that. But I was just kind of like...
I'll tell you one thing. I do feel bad for Woody, because he does get a lot of stick on online from Team LH for... Not a lot. He can kind of say anything. Anything he says... People are like, what a fucking prick. And it's just like, well, he didn't really say anything wrong. What was it that he said? I actually think I bookmarked it, because I was just like, I'm going to bring this up on the podcast. It was... Anyone know how you find your bookmarks there? Oh, no, I didn't bookmark. I did bookmark another thing, which we'll get on to. What he said essentially was... Yeah, I think if it wasn't for Lewis overtaking me, I would have got P2.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that, yeah.
Obviously, like, the Hamilton cult gripped onto that, took it out of context. And I've said this 100 times, I'm a massive Lewis fan, but I don't at all appreciate how the fan base are online. George was clearly alluding to the fact that he had made the error.
Yeah.
And that if he had made the error and didn't lose the place to Lewis, then P2 was on. That is true. He wasn't saying, oh, well, if my teammate had just let me stay in front.
Oh, I'm a Lewis fan, but Lewis screwed his own race this weekend, and that came from qualifying.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get on to that in a bit. But when we say error, I'd say errors because...
Oh, no, he had a catalogue of errors.
And this is what I put in the group chat, didn't I? This is exactly... I still stand by the fact that George Russell cannot handle the pressure in these situations.
His wheel-to-wheel racing ability is... Because I'll tell you what, I think Oscar Piastri is actually one of the best wheel-to-wheel racers. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
But I think he races very clean.
Yeah. He doesn't crumble under pressure. That's one thing. Watching him yesterday...
With Lewis breathing down his neck.
He held... For someone who's so young, he's got a very mature head on him in the sense of how he deals with the pressure, how he soaks it up. Because when they were talking... I like the fact that they came over the radio... Do you think if you get past Norris, do you think you can go on? I'm just trying to focus on the fact that I've got someone right behind me.
I feel like George completely just turned in on him at the chicane.
Yeah.
Of the Wall of Champions. And like that was, the move was clearly not on. Like he wasn't far ahead enough.
For me, very poor decision making in... What he could have done, he could have held back and then got him DRS straight down there, absolutely clean.
And it was the fact he was willing to do that move at the risk of ending his race.
Yeah.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just poor decision making. Mm. And I think it's probably his, I don't know, he doesn't know how to control his desire to win or anything, because even like he didn't manage his tyres properly. When he was on the inters. And it backfired. You know, you could even see when Max was closing in on him, how Max was finding all the wet patches so much better. Like, stupid stuff like that to cool the tyres off.
He was just continuing on the straights, wasn't he? He wasn't moving, like, yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't there, the experience. And I do genuinely think Mercedes will be looking at this and, like... Because George is a very good driver, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think I'm at the point now where I actually think I agree. He's not a world champion.
So you agree with me now?
Yeah, I do think. I think this weekend showed that. And it didn't like massively annoy me that I would have much rather have been Lewis in that position. But, you know, if George was to go on and win, then fine. But... I genuinely believe if Lewis started P1, he would have won the race.
Yeah. For me, it's the radio messages from George. You know, you can be down in P19. Okay, tell me what I need to do to win the race, George. You're down in P19, mate. You're not going to win.
Yeah. Tell me what I need to do.
Put it down the race.
Yeah. Drive quicker.
I just, you know, he had a very good 19, 20 laps, and they were clean. They were good racing. He held off Max well. The thing is with George, and what I really struggle with, is he does moments of class, moments of brilliant racing. You're kind of like, wow, this is great. And then all of a sudden, there's moments in that race yesterday. So he took himself off, I think it was like turn six or something. He went over he went on the grass, lost his place to Lando.
Yeah.
He then...
And that was when he was able to... He was in a position to hunt Max down.
Yeah, he was in P2, relatively comfortable. He was holding off Lando. He had the potential to go off then. He then, all of a sudden, almost took off Piastri. He then cut the chicane on the final chicane, which then meant Lewis went through. So that's three errors there. For someone who is meant to be... future world champion, that's three big errors he made there in a race.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that whole decision making of
wasn't there was the earlier error where he went off at the chicane at the Wall of Champions as well, where he came right across Max.
Yeah,
you remember?
Yeah.
That's four.
Yeah. And then I appreciate your, you know, Lewis was down that straight, there was only one coming up to one lap to go. And for the first time, he like decided to go into the wet on the outside, and you saw his steering wheel like go.
Yeah.
All it took was and we've seen it when he did with Bottas. Do you remember in Imola?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, that just goes, and you've taken both your cars out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know a lot of people go, "Oh, that was a great overtake from George." For me, that was risky. Any other driver, I'd be like, "Okay, you know, if it's Max or whatever, perfect, great overtake. But you're doing it against your own team.
Yeah, teammate on teammate, that was a risky overtake.
Yeah. So he's still got a lot to learn. I still stand by my point. I do think he'll never be a world champion because I do not think he has the correct decision making in him to be a champion. If you ask me between who do I think would be more likely to be a champion out of him and Norris, I would pick Norris all day long. But I don't know.
I think it should be mentioned just on that topic. Lando Norris is in a great position to win his maiden championship.
And I do you know what? I eat my hat as well. You'll
eat your hat.
I have been very impressed with Lando Norris this season.
131 points. That's about 60 points behind Max Verstappen.
I don't think he'll win it because I think Max will still do it. But I think he's a very, very good...
The McLaren is looking like the quickest car on the grid at the moment.
Yep. For me, what showed this weekend is Max can still do it in difficult conditions. He can still fight it through and he can still come out with those points.
And this is why we can talk smack about last season, 2022. The car was alien fast.
Yeah.
2023, sorry. And 2022 falls into this as well. But it doesn't dominate like that without Max Verstappen in the car.
That's why I had no issues with Max winning yesterday, because I felt like it was a race where he was like, he worked for it and it was a battle.
And do you know what I mean? If Max wins every race this season, which I truly don't believe will happen,
no,
as in like he wins every race from now, I don't care if they're all like that. You know, if the best driver on the day wins,
yeah,
brilliant. But we had three cars, and I mean, as in, you know, in theory, you should have had six drivers. But we had three cars that were all pretty level. Yeah. I would say the McLaren was the quickest, then the Mercedes, then the Red Bull.
Yeah.
But the Red Bull with Max Verstappen in is always a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Anyone else in that Red Bull, they wouldn't have won that yesterday.
No, not a chance in hell. I mean, Sergio Perez showed that.
Yeah. Should we quickly touch, just do a quick recap of qualifying? Or do you want
to... There's one point I want to bring up. But qualifying actually works into this quite nicely. Have you heard about the conspiracy theory about Lewis Hamilton and the team sabotaging him?
The fact that it's always 0.2 or something like that. Yep, I've heard about it. Do I agree with it? No.
Well, Lewis said this. The tyres were working throughout the weekend. Then we got to qualifying and every time I went out of the garage, my tyres were for some reason below temperature. Every set was 2 or 3 degrees lower than it should have been and you can't catch it up. So I couldn't switch the tyres on after that. That's something we have to really look at because something went wrong with the blankets, I guess.
I would like to think it's not true, this whole sabotage thing. But also, what have Mercedes got to gain from sabotaging? Because for them, constructors' play position is important. Reputation is important. If they're sabotaging their own driver, I'd be very shocked. And I also think...
We've seen it before.
Yeah.
What about in 2016? When the mechanics in the garage randomly got swapped over.
I remember that.
Yeah. Then how many engine failures did Lewis have?
Yeah. Okay, look.
I'm just saying, look, I'm not here for conspiracies. I think Lewis's qualifying was poor last year.
It's been poor this year as well, yeah.
And it has continued to be poor. I do think this weekend was strange. That's one thing I will stand by. He was pretty much consistently the quickest man all weekend. In FP3, he dropped like 0.7 on George.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think on it, basically.
For me, I don't think it's true because I want to hope that it's not true. I know there was a lot of speculation kind of like, how's George 0.2 quicker? He was 0.2 quicker because he got the tow from Alex Albon.
Yeah, I do think
so. I stand by that. That's how he got quicker. If it is true, then that'd be really disappointing. I can't see it being true at all. I think when you, for me, just get Lewis to Ferrari. I think, you know...
Oh, yeah, but after this weekend.
Oh, yeah, but okay. They won the last race. I think this weekend, every car, every now and then, goes through a crappy weekend, and Ferrari had theirs this weekend.
Some of those strategy calls as well.
Yeah, going on to the hards, I don't necessarily think was the Ferrari strategist. I think that was Leclerc going, let's try something different.
I don't think that is what he said.
Well, when he came in, he said, we've got to try something different.
Well, they were telling him to stay out because they said two more laps and the rain goes and these will come to life.
Oh, no. And but going on to hards, I think, was a combination of both their decisions.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, from what it sounded like on the radio, it was.
It was a terrible decision either way.
It was a terrible decision.
I don't know why they didn't just retire him then and there.
Because I think relatively then, if it had worked, they would have been in a great position.
No, as in when it didn't work. Because he came back in.
He came back in for Inters, yeah. And then they're like, look, lads. We're 9 minutes behind here. Let's just like give it a break.
Yeah, he'd been lapped by the front five.
Yeah. Going back to what you're saying about the conspiracy, I don't think it's true. Guys, you're listening, let us know what you think. I think when you look at it, I would say it's Lewis just having a very, very bad day. And he has come out since then, and he's been very vocal in the sense of it's been one of his worst races.
The race, he made too many errors, but he was still the quickest man on track.
He was.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, he did make too many errors because when he was really creeping up to that Lando, George, Oscar battle.
Yeah.
What was he, 1.8 off? Seeing I blink and he's 7.5 seconds behind.
Yeah.
Well, obviously he's gone off and had a moment and it's... I don't know. It's just strange for a driver that was, for so many years, so error-free.
Yeah, but I think this weekend is an anomaly. Big word for me, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but say that again.
Anomaly. Yeah, there we go. Anomaly. In the sense of Canada is always very unpredictable with results. I think a true test will what we'll see with the next triple header with Spain and...
Yeah, Barcelona especially will be...
Yeah.
They'll give us a great indication of how the cars actually line up.
I think we've heard from Toto Wolff for a lot, and they even picked up it this weekend. Oh, you know, we understand what's going on with the car, it's getting better, we understand. Well, actually, if we go to Spain and we are going, okay, we're still seeing improvements with Mercedes, then we know that we're on the right track. I still think, you know, yesterday with the weather prediction, the weather is so many changes, it's very unpredictable because 9 times out of 10, you would see someone like a Ferrari up there, you know, Perez might be in the top 10 or whatever stuff. So I think yesterday is hard to really gauge where we're at. I still think we're in a battle with Red Bull and McLaren. Do I think Mercedes are 100%
there?
Ferrari, yeah. And that's why I said with yesterday, it's hard to really go, oh, Ferrari have had they've had an awful weekend. Do I think it will last? No, I don't. I think they'll be back in Barcelona. But my main concern is Mercedes. Do I think they're consistently going to continue to go at this pace? I'm not so sure.
Barcelona will be a good test of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think we can't ride too much on this weekend. And that's why I say, when going back to the whole Danny Rick thing, you can't really ride too much on this weekend because... This weekend was very unique in some sense because weather changes, it was raining, it was dry, it was inters, it was all over the place. There was no real consistency with it. So I think for me, if we see the likes of Mercedes getting better at Barcelona as well, then I'll be a bit more optimistic. Danny Rick is consistent again at Barcelona. Okay, he's on the right track. I think these are the, we need to really see that consistently going forward.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Qualifying. Let's just quickly touch on qualifying. No real shocks, but Sergio Perez out in Q1. Q2 saw both Ferraris go out, which was a shock.
That was a shock, yeah.
And very disappointed. I know Charles Leclerc was very, very hacked off. Did you see the clip of when the PR team were going, if you want to say this, and he like, went up and he was
I'll
like,
say what I want.
I know what I've got to say, or something like that, yeah. And then Q3, I think, you know, really positive from George. Great lap for Max. Again, not the quickest car on this weekend. Still putting a flyer of a lap.
Identical lap times.
Yeah.
Incredible. The first time since we've gone to three decimal places.
Yeah. Aston Martin's had a very good qualifying. Both of the cars in Q3 as well. McLaren's in there. But on a whole, enjoyable qualifying session. Getting to the race. I mean, it literally looked like I was watching slow motion when they were getting off the line because it was not fast at all. There was no grip.
Lewis actually had a mega start, but he got sandwiched.
Yeah.
Race could have been completely different.
Could have been completely different. For me, standouts, I thought, although Lando made some errors, still to come home in P2, I think realistically the safety car screwed him over. Do I think Lando would have won that? I'm not so sure. I still think Max would have had it in the bag. I think Max is consistently see this weekend, and he was just class. He was class.
Max was a driver of the day for sure.
I was really impressed with him, and that's for me a true champion.
Mm.
You know, to get that win in those conditions with so much changes, not in the fastest car, is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, solid weekend. I think that's got to be, in this new era, that's got to be one of his most satisfying wins.
And I was impressed with him. Piastri, I thought I had a solid weekend. There's something about Piastri, isn't it, where he just can't get that P3, can he? He's always just missing out. He's always getting that P4.
There is a pace discrepancy between him and Lando.
Yeah.
Like, surely you admit Lando is quicker now.
Oh, 100%. But If Piastri can sort that out,
if Piastri can get faster, he'll be a better driver.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
So what?
I agree with you. Lando is a better driver. I agree with you on that one. Okay, I agree. But I think the characteristics of Piastri and what he has in the locker is he has the potential to do really well within the sport. That's why.
Yeah, but can he be quicker than Lando? Because you've always said, yeah.
In time, I do think so. I do.
Well, how, like, Lando has to still be, what, in his 20s?
No, I think give it another. Lando is consistently quick. I'm not taking that away from him. But I think Piastri has offers something different for someone, as I said earlier, so young. He is very
well. Yeah, I mean, he offers you a P5 instead of a P2.
Yeah, look.
So that's good. That's different.
There's no need to be a dick about it, is there?
No, I just think you are very. You said this stupid chair. You said this season, Oscar Piastri will finish ahead of Lando Norris.
Yeah. And I may have to eat my words.
Do you still believe that?
No. Do you know what? Look, I own up. If I say something and I have to go back on it, I go back on it. I've been very impressed with Lando Norris. I actually think he's done a lot. He's done a lot better than I expected.
Who would you have rather won the race yesterday, Lando or George?
Oh God. Do you know what? I hate to say it, but Lando.
Why do you hate him so much?
What, Lando?
George.
I don't hate George. I just...
You do, because you were thinking about it.
Look, he's sabotaging Lewis on a weekly basis right now. I don't know. No, there's just something about Woody, and I just...
Yeah, fair.
Okay, who would you have preferred, Lando or George?
Probably Lando, but I'll tell you why. It's because I want Lewis to be the first person to get a win in this shite car.
Yeah.
If Lewis had a win, then it would have been George.
Yeah.
Like, say Lewis had already won in...
The issue is we're going to get a lot of shit because they're going to go, well, you're a Mercedes fan, surely you want... No, I'm a Lewis fan.
Yeah, because next season we're Ferrari fans, so, you know.
It's... But I did think about this yesterday, and it's different. So next year, I'll be a Ferrari fan. I'll be with Lewis, be a Ferrari fan as well. I'll actually be rooting for Lewis and Leclerc next year.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'll still be rooting for Lewis over Charles.
Granted. But
if, like if Lewis finishes second and Charles finishes first, you'll still be like...
Yes, but I'll still be happy for Charles.
Yeah.
So like if we're in a situation yesterday and we're in that same position, I would have actually, and Leclerc won, I'd have been delighted for him. But I can't say the same if George won it.
Because you hate him.
No, I don't hate him.
Oh, no.
No, I don't hate George. Let's just recap this. I don't hate George. I just, it would just be unbearable. Because then people are like, oh, Lewis is washed. Oh, look, you know, George is beating him, all of this stuff. I couldn't deal with it.
What about Logan Sargeant? He's pretty washed. Poor guy. Has it been confirmed that he's not racing for them next season?
No. No, it's not.
James Vowles was openly conducting an interview saying Carlos Sainz is their first choice. it's like your girlfriend getting another boyfriend while she's still with you.
He can't be in the sport. He's awful, isn't he?
But she's like openly talking about him.
Who would you say is worse, Sargeant or Mazepin?
Do you know what? Mazepin never had a chance in a decent car. This Williams is an alright car. Do you know what I mean? It's not a world beater. I think a lot of times Alex Albon is probably outperforming it, but that Haas was truly one of a kind. In the sense that we know they spent zero on development. It was basically 1.5 seconds a lap slower than every car. I'm sure it was an absolute handful. So I think based on only logic, the fact that we can base Sargeant's performance off driving a decent car, it's got to be Sargeant.
What, who's worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because has he got a point yet?
No.
Like, even Latifi scored a point in a Williams that was really bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I, you know, I feel bad for him, but come on, buddy. Hang the racing boots up.
You should be proud. You've done two seasons in an F1.
Yeah, imagine,
there's like, a lot of people who would never do that. So
you're like the world's greatest con artist. You somehow tricked an F1 team into thinking that you're a driver for 2 years. You've got to live out the dream. You travelled the world driving fast cars. You know, you're getting paid millions. When really, he hasn't even got his driving license. So. Yeah, obviously, you know, I think he'll stay until the end of the season because it looks like they're going after Carlos Sainz. I don't really see who they can bring in for half a season at this stage, unless Seb wants to come back for half a season.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Zhou, he's going to go.
Yeah.
Poor weekend very from poor. Him. Who else? Perez, I think we already touched on, had a shocking weekend, but as if Red Bull didn't have a big enough damage bill to pick up, he just goes, fuck it, I'll just smash the rear wing up.
It was a nasty. It was nasty, wasn't it?
I mean, what is he? They must hate him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I dread to think what he's got on someone in that team, because he's got some serious dirt on someone. He has. He must do, because he's a liability.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. He is.
Can we actually talk about Alex Albon's overtake?
Yeah.
Overtake of the season, surely.
Double overtake, lovely overtake.
That's one of the best overtakes I think I've seen.
Oh, we put it in the group jam. I was like, that was outrageous. It's good.
The danger in that move, and it was a double overtake.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Class.
Really. Not even like, oh, he's done them both around the outside.
No.
No, did one on the outside, one on the inside. Yeah.
No, it was a great overtake. Answer me this. Esteban Ocon obviously is leaving Alpine. We know that. Yesterday, the drama continued. He did get a point, which was great. Pierre Gasly was let past.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen on the interview, Ocon was very annoyed that it wasn't allowed to go past to be finished P9.
Well, yeah, because did you listen to the radio?
No.
So Ocon was told to let Gasly pass so he can try and overtake Danny Ric.
Yeah.
And then they'd switch back if he can't.
They just didn't switch back.
And then they were like, oh yeah, we're going to hold position.
So
that I don't like.
No.
You know, I think he's got a right to be annoyed.
I'm not sure Ocon will see the rest of the season out with Alpine. My gut feeling is actually, it seems toxic now. It does seem toxic. I'm thinking, you get to summer break, they may actually just release him, give the rest of the season to Doohan. Because
It makes no odds to them, does it really?
But there's something going, I know Ocon is leaving, but it's something bigger, isn't it? Because it seems a very toxic environment at the moment, and Ocon seems to be the very centre part of that. I'm not saying he's the issue, but
I mean, the fact they announced he was leaving like a few days after that incident at Monaco says that it wasn't because of that. It's like that was the final straw.
Yeah. There's something going on behind the scenes which is causing a lot of drama. And yeah, I just have that feeling that come the summer break, they'll just cut ties with him. Give the rest of the season to Doohan. What have we got to lose?
Yeah, we may see that.
Because if you're looking for your seat next year and Doohan potentially might be an option, put him in some races.
I think he kind of has to be their option at this point. I've been thinking about it because they fumbled Piastri. You know, don't fumble the next guy.
Biggest fumble in F1 history?
No, I would argue Mercedes fumbling Max Verstappen.
Yeah, yeah.
Is up there.
Good shout. Let us know what your thoughts are on Ocon. Ollie Bearman is apparently signed for Haas, from what I've heard.
I saw that. Terrible shout.
I'm actually quite excited about it, to be fair.
Look, I'm happy for him. I am. But we won't have this debate again, but You know my thoughts.
We got a bit of stick. Well, you got a bit of stick on TikTok.
I feel like some people backed me.
I mean, you say backed, I say
stick.
So, what were some of the comments? 48 comments we had on that. He got put into Ferrari with minimal practice, only being in the Haas, qualifies in top 10, finishes 6th. He earned his seat.
Really? That earns your seat in F1 nowadays?
Ollie Bearman
is... That's like saying Theo Baker deserves a spot in Arsenal's front two because he's good at the crossbar challenge.
Whoa, don't diss the crossbar challenge.
But that is ridiculous, isn't it?
So Ollie Bearman is 100% ready for F1. We saw that in Jeddah, the hardest circuit on the calendar, and got pole in F2 the same weekend. Pairing with Ricciardo, that's what I think. Ocon going to Haas makes sense. Their first ever race winner driver. Hope his salary demands won't stop him from joining Haas. Finally, somebody speaking in the Anglo-Saxon world with calm and pragmatism about F1. Happy to have witnessed it during my lifetime. That was back in you, yeah?
You're welcome.
F2 proves nothing about success in F1. Multiple drivers never even competed in GP2 or F2. They jumped up like Max, obviously not as young as him, though. We've also seen F2 champs get to F1 and be shoddy.
And no, that I completely agree with. But to use Max as a comparative, come on. You know, that he's part of a one-of-a-kind group of drivers.
This is interesting. One example out of many is Joel has been in F1 for the last few years, but he was beaten by his teammate both years in F2, Callum Ilott, and he's never gotten a chance, and that's down to Joel having bigger money sponsorship.
Yeah.
Fair?
And we know that Oli Behrman has a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean,
His father is very rich.
Ocon is way more dangerous than K-Mag. This is a terrible take.
What, weren't we talking about Oli Behrman?
Yeah, no, but we're saying we're pairing him up against Ocon.
What has he been watching this season? God, some people are just so stupid.
Also, just shout out to Haas. I mean, for 6 laps yesterday, your strategy was on form.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did all go to shit. Again.
Very quick.
But yeah, I was getting quite gassed watching them go cut through the back. I was like, fucking hell.
And no, then you were like, why didn't get Hamilton on wet?
Well, because I mean, I didn't have a weather radar in front of me.
Yeah, I was like, terrible take that. Anything else to pick up?
There will be an episode next week, but there will not be an episode the following week.
Boo.
And then we'll be back the week after that.
Very good, is it?
Other than that, no, I think we covered quite a lot.
Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. Hopefully you do understand that I don't hate Ricardo or George Russell. I just have different views. So get in touch. Who do you agree with? Myself?
Would have been funnier if you just didn't mention George Russell. You're just like, obviously I don't hate Daniel Ricciardo. Anyway.
I don't hate anyone. But yeah, have a good week. And we'll be back next week for a brand new episode previewing Barcelona. And is this, what, second to last race in Barcelona, isn't it? 2026 is in Madrid.
Has that actually been confirmed?
Yeah, I believe so. Confirmed last year, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Have a great week and we shall speak to you later. Bye-bye.